This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Just under 3 weeks to go until Election Day, everyone, and the advertising air war is escalating in Massachusetts, specifically over two of the state's ballot questions. This week, opponents of marijuana legalization launched their first television ad against question four. And with question two and charter school expansion, well, that has the distinction of being the single most expensively fought advertising battle of any referendum in any state this election cycle, a total of $18.5 million spent so far, according to the Center for Public Integrity. Here's a taste of advertising from both sides.
We have a proven record of helping students in underperforming areas succeed.
Question two will expand charter school access and result in more funding for public education.
$400 million. That's how much charter schools will drain from Massachusetts public schools this year. $400 million siphoned from local districts that desperately need it.
Well, joining us now to dig into who's making these ads, who's paying for them, and whether or not ballot question advertising even works is John Carroll, professor of communication at Boston University and WBUR senior news analyst. Good to see you, John.
Good to be here.
Okay, so first of all, let's just start with question two in charter schools. Super contentious issue here in Massachusetts. We just heard two clips there. They are from ads that were actually first put out back in August, when
right.
A lot of people weren't paying attention. So what have we seen?
But they were spending a lot of money in August. Between them, they spent $3 million in August, which is a staggering amount for a time when nobody's paying attention. But it was sort of a harbinger of what was going to happen. So the pro-charter school ads are coming largely from a group of hedge fund managers who are based in New York and who have funded about half of this campaign. And they estimated they were going to raise $18 million alone by themselves.
Huh. Interesting. Well, what I noted in that little montage that we played earlier is the August pro question two ads were talking about having a proven record for helping students in underperforming districts. And that was one of their arguments in favor of charter school expansion. But let's play a clip from the latest pro question two ad. This is from Great Schools Massachusetts.
32,000 kids want to go to a public charter school, but they can't. If you like your public school, question two won't affect you. But for kids stuck in failing school districts, question two will let parents choose something better.
Different tactic here.
Yeah, this is the liberal guilt gambit. I think that, you know, they're saying basically, why wouldn't you let these kids, these deserving kids, underserved, have what you have? And I think one of the reasons might be that the early ads were saying exactly opposite things, as we heard. You know, one said it's more money if we have charter schools. The other one, which is funded by the teachers' unions, say we'll have less money. So they sort of canceled each other out. So both of them have changed tactics slightly. And I think the liberal vote tends to reflexively go toward supporting public schools. And I think what they're trying to do is to say, you know what, you're liberal, give a little of what you have to other people who need it.
Yeah. Interesting, because a WBUR poll out today found that 52% of polled Massachusetts voters oppose question two. Support for charters, meanwhile, has stayed at 41%. Let's listen to a clip from the latest ad in opposition to question two. This is from Save Our Public Schools.
The outside corporate interests bankrolling question two are trying to deceive you. Here's the truth. Every time a new charter school opens, it drains money from the existing public schools. That's $400 million just last year, according to the state's own data.
So this is the I hate New York gambit. And basically what they're saying is these people are coming in from the outside to influence what is the most local issue of all, which is public schools. And I think that they're playing up the outside influence because it works with people. One question is, why do hedge fund managers want to get involved in this in the first place? There are tremendously lucrative tax breaks if you invest in charter schools. And you can double your money in 7 years, according to one analysis. So they have a real financial interest in more charter schools because it's more investment opportunities for them.
You know, I do think it's a little rich, though, but pointing to the outside money influence, because on the opponents to question two side, a lot of their money is coming from national level teachers unions.
That's true, but at least it's transparent. When you see the disclaimer at the end, you know it's the teachers funding the anti-expansion forces. On the other side, there's six front groups that you have no idea of who they are, and that's why they're front groups, because they want to hide, actually.
Yeah.
actually their real identity.
Not to say that the teachers' unions haven't done something similar before. Do you remember back in 2013 during the Boston mayoral race where there was a super PAC called One Boston and it launched a $500,000 ad in favor of Marty Walsh?
Right.
And
right.
we only found out later after Walsh won that that was actually $500,000 from the American Federation of Teachers, and they funneled it through that super that nonprofit.
That's how you play the game, you know, try to hide your identity so people don't know your agenda.
Okay, so let's talk about the overall money being spent here. $18.5 million just on question two. I mean, how does that compare to other ballot questions we've seen in Massachusetts?
It's a staggering amount of money, and one of the sort of trends that we've seen in the past is whoever spends more on a ballot question tends to win. So this one might be a reversal of that, but it's an amazing amount of money to pour into one state over one issue. You usually see significant amounts in a lot of these ballot questions, but not money like that.
Well, let's move on to question four now. Of course, that's the question about legalizing recreational marijuana in Massachusetts. Just yesterday, opponents of question four, Campaign for a Safe and Healthy Massachusetts, launched their very first ad. Here's a taste of it.
In pro-pot states, incidents of drugged driving and fatal car accidents are up. More pot shops than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Higher potency, dangerous drivers.
So that's the first ad from opponents to question four. Meanwhile, on the pro side, the Massachusetts Marijuana Initiative, their latest ad features a physician, Dr. Susan Lucas.
Right now, doctors and patients are afraid to bring up all treatment options for fear of breaking the law. Yes on four means we can regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana to help people with pain avoid opiates.
So what tactics here, John?
Well, I think the fear tactic on the anti side is pretty clear. And, you know, some of these ads are going to send the fact checkers to a chiropractor because, basically you have statistics on both sides that can prove virtually anything. So they're going for the fear factor. Interestingly, the pro-marijuana people are going for the sort of institutional authority factor. So they've got a doctor from the medical community. Their earlier ad had a retired law enforcement official, a retired cop. So they're trying to put this sort of veneer of authority and official stamp of approval on their side of the campaign, while the others are just basically fear-mongering.
Right, but it's interesting because the yes people chose a doctor, but most, if not all, medical associations in Massachusetts have come out in opposition to question four.
So you figured something out about advertising, haven't you?
The scales are starting to fall from my eyes here, John. But let me ask you, this is advertising about ballot questions, about questions and issues. It's not advertising about individuals, you know, as in a presidential campaign. So what sale are they trying to make here? Are they trying to get people to the polls? Are they trying to shore up the base? Like, what are they actually trying to accomplish with these ads?
They're basically boiling it down to yes on four, no on four. I mean, that's what they want. All they want is the bottom line and any way they can get there. So people will go in with varying degrees of information and understanding of these ballot questions, but a lot of it is just their gut instinct. A lot of it is just trying to reinforce what you already feel.
Okay, and how effective are these ads then at doing that? I mean, who usually wins the air war?
The one with the biggest megaphone, whoever spends the most money.
Well, John Carroll is a professor of communication at Boston University and WBUR senior news analyst. He walked us through some of the latest advertising regarding the Massachusetts ballot questions. John, always great to have you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.